This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, October 15th, with John Chancellor reporting from the NBC News Center in New York.
Good evening. The police in Hartford, Connecticut, said today they were responsible for last night's fender-bending accident involving President Ford's limousine and this car full of teenagers. The Hartford police failed to close off an intersection. As the president's motorcade drove past in the dark, a 1967 Buick full of kids drove through a green light and banged into the president's $500,000 armored Lincoln. The president wasn't hurt. The Lincoln slightly damaged, but the Buick took a real beating. Its 19-year-old driver was released, presumably to explain it all to his parents. Here's more on the story from Robert Hager.
The presidential motorcade was just underway, leaving Hartford, when at an intersection, the car with six teenagers inside slammed into the presidential limousine from the right. A camera recorded the accident. Secret service men swarmed over the car and the teenagers inside.
Surround them!
The president's car sped away. Now, here is the accident again in slow motion. At police headquarters, the driver, 19-year-old James Salamites, looked scared.
It was a very unfortunate situation, and I'm glad that nobody, including the president, got hurt.
At Hartford Airport, President Ford said these things happen. But it must have been harrowing, according to another occupant of the limousine, Connecticut Republican Chairman Frederick Beeble.
The impact knocked the president to the floor. I went over on top of him. And in the process of landing on top of him, somehow I broke my hand, and as you can see, have it in a cast today. I think the president caught it out of the corner of his eye and knew it was about to happen because he tried to brace me and put his hand to my knee, and so I think he said, be careful, and with that, the impact took place.
Last night's presidential motorcade had to travel only five city blocks from here at the Civic Center where the president spoke, to an interstate highway leading to the airport. Hartford police had more than 100 policemen assigned to presidential security, but in spite of that, the intersection where the accident occurred was not sealed off. And the car that hit the presidential limousine had a green light. A continuing Hartford police investigation is centered not on the young driver, but on the police department itself.
Well, someone made a mistake, and it looks right now as though the Hartford Police Department made the mistake. Motorcycle escorts are supposed to jump ahead and block intersections. Our information is that one cycle blocked the intersection for a very short time and then moved on. Two cycles should have dropped off and blocked this intersection.
Police are holding young Salamite's wrecked car. Inside are five empty beer bottles and two empty beer cans.
He had had a couple of beers, but a lot of kids have a couple of beers. The light changed to green and he proceeded.
So, police are taking the blame here. They say Salamites, the driver, will not be charged. Robert Hager, NBC News, Hartford, Connecticut.
No one is yet sure who will pay the repair bills. Connecticut has a no-fault insurance law. Yet, if the owners of the Lincoln have to pay, it won't be the White House. The car is leased to the government by the Ford Motor Company. Also, the White House doesn't know if the president was wearing a seatbelt. Although his administration is in favor of belts, there's no law against not wearing them. Hours after the Hartford police said it was their fault, a White House spokesman said, the White House is wondering how in the world this could have happened. Here's more on that from John Cochran.
The president's top assistant, Donald Rumsfeld, personally ordered the Secret Service to provide a complete report on the accident. Sources here told NBC News that Rumsfeld was indignant and mad as hell that the president's car could be rammed. Another White House official said there's a big difference between what happened in Connecticut and the two assassination attempts in California. This time, said the official, someone clearly screwed up. And even though Hartford police have accepted responsibility, Mr. Ford still wants a report from the Secret Service. Today, Mr. Ford was out riding in another car here in Washington where presidential motorcades are commonplace. Mr. Ford was on his way to deliver an economic speech which made no mention of the Hartford incident. That incident has brought on headlines like this one in the Washington Star. This kind of publicity worries White House aides who are already sensitive to criticism of the president's heavy travel schedule. That criticism, combined with a feeling that Mr. Ford may already be suffering from overexposure around the country, has led to White House rejections of some out-of-town invitations the president might otherwise have accepted. Just last month, Mr. Ford said that by the end of this year, he intended to visit every state he's not already visited as president. But now his aides say the president may not get around to every state. John Cochran, NBC News, the White House.
Also in the news today, the final recommendations of the Special Watergate Prosecution Force. We'll have the details on that story. We'll have a non-instant replay of that part of last night's World Series game in which the umpire saw one thing while the camera showed something else. And we'll have another in our series of special reports on the energy crisis and what can be done about it. Tonight, nuclear energy. Those stories and others in a minute.
Most electric shaver companies make one system for everyone, but all men aren't alike, so Remington now offers two different systems.
This Remington radial is great for electric razor users. Its contoured head makes it the most advanced version of the Remington system yet.
I'm a blade shaver, but Remington's new soft touch with its thin, flexible screen actually gives me a close, comfortable shave.
The Remington systems. One is right for you.
The beer and the burgers, the light and the noise.
At three, he's still here with the boys.
Oh, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief.
Ah, those lovely plop, bubbles. Plop, fizz, for aches and pains with upset stomach, Alka-Seltzer works. Fast.
Oh, what a relief it is.
For acid indigestion, try Alka-Seltzer Gold.
The special Watergate prosecutor, Henry Ruth, today issued his final report on the eve of his departure. Among its recommendations to prevent future Watergates are these: no president should appoint as attorney general anyone who served at a high level in his campaign. Congress should keep a closer eye on agencies like the FBI and the CIA to prevent their being misused by the executive. The report did not recommend that the special prosecution force be made permanent. Carl Stern has more on the report.
The report does not recite any new evidence, but it does tell a great deal about what was going on behind the scenes. For example, the special prosecutors were giving serious consideration to prosecuting Richard Nixon after he resigned from office. The report says Mr. Nixon's own words, heard on White House tape recordings, showed his participation in the Watergate cover-up. The prosecutors clearly felt that President Ford pulled the rug out from under them by his unexpected pardon of Mr. Nixon. Prosecutors felt they had been misled by the Ford White House. More than 50 persons were ultimately prosecuted and convicted, but the report says still other charges would have been brought had it not been for time-consuming interference from the Nixon White House. It also paints an unflattering portrait of one of the previous Mr. Cleans of Watergate, Elliot Richardson. It says that Richardson, to appease the Nixon White House, at one point suggested that the criminal division under Henry Peterson screen what the special prosecutor's office was looking at. At another point, he suggested a more limited charter for the special prosecutor's office to keep it away from matters the White House considered improper. On many matters, the special prosecutor's office says it could not determine anything positively. For example, who caused the 18-and-a-half-minute gap? The report says the evidence was strong, that deletions from transcripts submitted by Mr. Nixon to the House impeachment inquiry were deliberate, but it would have been difficult to prove criminal intent. It says the evidence was also insufficient concerning the Howard Hughes B.B. Rebozo connection. All in all, the report has no answers to lingering questions, but it is a textbook on how the special prosecutor's office functioned. Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington.
William Colby, head of the Central Intelligence Agency, admitted today that the CIA could have gone to the Watergate prosecutors earlier than it did with information about Watergate. Colby acknowledged that the agency knew right after the break-in at the Watergate that former CIA man Howard Hunt was involved in Watergate. The agency was also asked by the White House to help in the cover-up. The CIA waited 4 months to tell its story to the prosecutors. In a panel discussion before Associated Press editors in Williamsburg, Virginia, Colby today explained the delay.
In part, quite frankly, it came from the very concern about sensationalism that I spoke about earlier. You know that there were several people arrested in Watergate who were ex-CIA people. And I think the quite obvious suspicion came up in a lot of people's minds as to whether CIA was actually doing that. I think the concern, our concern at the time, we were convinced, and I think the record will point us out, that we had nothing to do with the Watergate itself, but no question about it. Yes, we did know about the Howard Hunt wig and so forth a year before. We also knew that we cut it off and that we hadn't continued along that because it looked like it was getting into a domestic activity, which was none of CIA's business, and that we cut off the relationship because of that.
Secretary of State Kissinger today refused to comply with a subpoena from the House Intelligence Committee. The committee sought a State Department memorandum critical of American handling of the 1974 crisis in Cyprus. Kissinger said he will furnish summaries of critical opinions contained in memos, but not the documents themselves, nor the names of the people who wrote them. The secretary said that in Ottawa, Canada. He's on a visit there.
Our mom sure makes great snacks.
It's easy with Triscuit.
A Triscuit, delicious whole wheat Triscuit. Brunch or lunch or snack time too, and Triscuit's good for you.
Just munch them.
Or top them. So handy when friends drop in.
There's nothing like that whole wheat taste to keep you snacking happy.
Triscuit wafers, made from 100% natural whole wheat.
A Triscuit, baked only by Nabisco.
Good news from Oster!
This is the Osterizer, the original all-family blender. What's in it for you? Well, there's mixed drinks, chocolate shakes, ham and macaroni bakes, cheese dips, Swiss fondue, sauce for Western barbecue, hot and spicy apple bread, peanut butter sandwich spread, sauce with wine, sauce with mustard, and lots more. The secret of these happy blends? Controlled cycle blending. That's Osterizer Spin Cookery. There's an Osterizer model for everyone.
In Spain, more than 800 Roman Catholic priests have accused the Franco regime of creating a climate of fear. In a document released today, signed by all of those priests, they said torture is used in police interrogations and that police so control all groups in Spain that no voices dare express honest opinion. In Oporto, Portugal, 8 days ago, several hundred soldiers mutinied in anger over the purging of several anti-government leftists from their ranks. Today, after the army commander agreed to reinstate those dissidents, the soldiers ended their rebellion. There are 1,500 South Vietnamese on Guam who do not want to live in the United States. Today, 500 of them went aboard a ship which will take them back to Vietnam and to an uncertain future. At the same time, one of the last groups of refugees heading toward the States flew to Camp Pendleton, California. Soon after this group is processed and moves on, the Pendleton Refugee Center will close. Ray Cullen reports.
The Camp Pendleton Refugee Center was called Little Saigon, and until a few months ago was a crowded city of 19,000 people. Now, many parts of the camp have been stripped of tents, and the refugee population has dropped to less than 5,000. More than half of the original 1,100 tents have been taken down and stored. The refugee facility will close October 31st, and Vietnamese still here will be transferred to Fort Chaffee, Arkansas for winter housing. Today, one of the final groups of Asian war refugees arrived in Southern California on their way to Camp Pendleton for processing. These people are Thai Doms, Montagnard people. For centuries, they lived in South Vietnam until the war pushed them into Laos. 750 of them recently walked into Thailand for evacuation to the United States. Most of these people speak English, and most of the adults are skilled workers. All of them are being sponsored by the state of Iowa and will be at Camp Pendleton for less than a week. The Montagnards face a far more certain future than the unsponsored refugees who will stay in Arkansas until sponsors for them can be found. Ray Cullen, NBC News, Camp Pendleton, California.
President Ford today predicted very encouraging economic news soon. Figures that will show, figures that will show, as he put it, that we're on our way to a sensible, long-range answer to the peaks and valleys in our economy. Later, the Commerce Department said that business inventories, which had been declining for 6 months, went up in August by 0.5%. Almost all of the increase came in the automobile industry, the result of 5 months of rising car sales.
We
didn't tell them which was which when we compared the taste of Golden Griddle, a blend of four good syrups, against pure maple in the heart of maple syrup country.
Definitely this one. It has body. I prefer it.
This one has real good flavor. I like it better.
This one, by far.
I gotta tell you, this one really is better.
This one tastes better than that one. It does.
Squeeze on the Golden Griddle, the taste that beat pure maple.
What makes America work? Saving energy, even in small ways.
Here's something that can help. United States Steel Super Steel Siding. Applied over special air cushion underlayment, Super Steel Siding with optional supplementary insulation helps reduce heat and air conditioning losses. Super Steel Siding, it does beautiful things for your home.
Saving energy, that helps make America work. At United States Steel, we're involved.
Tonight, we have the third in our series of special reports on the energy crisis. Tonight's report is about nuclear energy. Someday, it may solve America's energy problem, but that day is a long way off. Bob Jamieson reports.
It had been the hope of the Nixon administration, and now is the hope of the Ford administration, that nuclear power would be the success story it is in Russellville, Arkansas. Arkansas Power and Light built a nuclear plant here that is the hit of the town. In Russellville, the high school band is bigger and better equipped because the plant pays millions in taxes. The town's businesses are thriving because the plant brought new people who spend their paychecks in Russellville stores. Arkansas Power and Light is even building a second reactor in Russellville. The people here don't oppose nuclear power. They like the idea. There is no worry about safety.
I don't fear it, no.
It don't bother me one way or the other. I think it's a good thing.
We have the resources. Why not use them?
Even though the government would like it to be that way, nuclear power is not the success everywhere that it is in Russellville. There is still strong opposition. There is growing evidence nuclear plants don't make the economic sense they're supposed to. And in the last 2 years, there hasn't been much of an increase in nuclear generating capacity. 2 years ago, 4% of the nation's electricity was generated by nuclear power. Today, that figure is just 8%. In the last 2 years, there has been a slowdown in the construction of new nuclear plants. In the last 18 months alone, construction of more than 50 plants has been delayed, and plans for 17 plants have been canceled altogether. The problems faced by Commonwealth Edison Company, which provides electricity to Chicago, are typical. The company, the pioneer in nuclear power, began operating this first reactor in 1960. It has continued to build new plants since then, and today has 7 reactors capable of generating electricity. One plant was shut down for 33 weeks last year, its reactors idle while workmen made repairs. Another plant, under construction south of Chicago, has been delayed for economic reasons. Commonwealth Edison says the slowdown in construction is only temporary, caused not by problems with the equipment, but by a decline in the use of electricity and tight money.
I think there are a number of causes. One is the general business recession. It's caused many utilities to look at their growth projections a little differently. Also, financial problems of utilities, which have led them to be reluctant to make commitments to nuclear power.
But others outside the industry say the slowdown is more than temporary. They argue nuclear plants have proved to be inefficient and not a good return on investment. Nuclear plants are twice as expensive to build as coal-fired generators. And a study by a Chicago public interest group says the plants in operation now are struggling to produce at only 50% of their potential output because of breakdowns. And as a result, the energy isn't any cheaper. Uranium, the fuel for nuclear plants, has tripled in price. And there are lingering safety questions, despite government-required safeguards against nuclear accidents. Opponents still say nuclear plants are unsafe.
Well, nuclear power in this country, as far as Washington is concerned, is like our technological Vietnam. No matter how serious the problems, how inefficient, how unreliable, how unsafe nuclear power is, the government's committed billions of taxpayer dollars and a lot of career roles in nuclear power, so they don't want to say they made a mistake. There are much safer and cleaner ways to get energy that will not expose to peril hundreds of thousands of people and future generations.
So where are we? The government and power companies are still committed to nuclear power as they were 2 years ago. And their opponents' arguments haven't changed much either. But the problems of the last 2 years indicate that at least in the next decade, nuclear power will not be able to solve our energy crisis. Bob Jamieson, NBC News, Chicago.
Scientists are exploring a number of new ways to solve the energy crisis. Tomorrow, we'll have a report on some of those techniques. Ralph Nader charged today that the Federal Energy Administration suppressed a poll showing that 94% of Americans are against allowing air-polluting power plants to be built where the air is clean. The FEA denied suppressing the poll. And here's the latest news from Botswana in Africa. Last week, along the banks of the Chobe River, two sleepy rhinos and one bored hippopotamus watched a tribal official marry Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, who decided that tying the knot in Africa would be a lark. The happy couple last week visited the Kruger Game Park in South Africa. They had been divorced 16 months ago, which means that it's her fifth marriage and his second. But actually, if you count their first marriage, it's his third and her sixth. But in terms of different spouses, the couple's total is seven.
Whole grain wheat, hard red spring wheat, whole grain rye. Whole grain means that the wheat germ and rye germ are still there. This is bran, this defatted flax seed, and this is pure golden honey. Now, all of these ingredients are in Roman meal bread. Roman meal, the good-tasting light brown bread with natural whole grain goodness. The Roman Meal Company thought you'd like to know.
Who makes a tire that's strong on traction? Atlas. Who makes a tire that's built for action? Atlas. Who makes a tire that grips when wet? Long on mileage? You can bet on Atlas. We've proved the strength of Atlas with tough road testing, like you should never do with your own car. Strong on traction. Built for action. Grips when wet. Long on mileage. You can bet on Atlas. Where can you get tires built with the strength of Atlas? At leading service stations near you.
Those terrible loose spots, gaps that can loosen dentures. For denture wearers, loose spots can get in the way of laughing, in the way of eating, in the way of talking. Now, find help with Fixident, a plastic cream discovery that's revolutionized denture holding. Fixident spreads so smoothly, so evenly, forms such a strong overall hold, it helps eliminate loose spots. Laugh, eat, talk with more security. Fixident helps eliminate loose spots.
All over the country, women of all ages are demanding and winning the right to compete in athletic contests with men. Jack Perkins has the story of a Los Angeles high school girl who won that right and is very happy about it.
Beth Helms is a junior in high school and she likes soccer. Last year, her school soccer team let her be its secretary, but that was not enough for Beth Helms. She forced the matter to the Los Angeles School Board, where it grew to a major issue. Some board members speaking of, quote, the medical fact that women are not as sturdy as men, warning that girls could get hurt in contact sports. Others asking, shouldn't girls today have the right to get hurt in contact sports if they want to? And finally, 4-3, the board approving, which meant this week, Beth Helms, not as a secretary, but in uniform, ran out onto the field and scrimmaged with the Taft High soccer team. And if girls want to in Los Angeles schools, they may now go out for baseball or basketball. And the hard contact sport, football, the board will rule on next year and probably let girls play that also. Beth Helms, who caused this, is delighted.
I'm really glad I can be out there now and play with them in the actual scrimmage rather than just the drills. I've played for 4 seasons in the West Valley Soccer League, so I have the skills. I just need a lot of practice with them.
Beth Helms thinks that with a few weeks' practice, she can make the team. And if she can't, she will have had the right to try and fail. For in Los Angeles schools, that too is a woman's right now. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And finally this evening, the big World Series flap. Last night in Cincinnati, an umpire made a call at a tense moment in a tied-up extra-inning game between the Cincinnati Reds and the Boston Red Sox, a decision which will go down as one of the most controversial calls in the history of baseball. Here's Dick Schaap of our sports staff to tell us about it.
It was the bottom of the 10th inning, score tied 5-5, none out, Cincinnati's Cesar Geronimo on first base, and Ed Armbrister pinch-hitting for Raleigh Eastwick. On the first pitch, Armbrister bunted. Armbruster hesitated, watching the play, blocking catcher Carlton Fisk, who, off balance, threw the ball into center field, his hopes for a double play ruined. Geronimo went safely into third, even though Boston didn't think so. Armbruster went to second, and manager Darryl Johnson bounded out of the Boston dugout, screaming at plate umpire Larry Barnett. Armbruster had interfered with Fisk, Johnson claimed, but the umpire said no. The hitter is going for first base, the catcher for the ball. It is simply a collision, not interference. The argument raged on, critical to the game, perhaps even critical to the series. But afterwards, Johnson was still all indignation.
I know the rule, and I felt that the man was interfered with. And that's all I have to say on the subject. I felt that he was interfered with. The instant replay will prove what I'm talking about.
There is no blood visible here tonight at the site of the controversy, but the bitterness lingers. There is a general feeling that Major League Baseball is unwise in selecting World Series umpires strictly on a basis of rotation without any consideration of merit. There is also a feeling that a Boston protest would have been fruitless, that umpire Barnett made a mistake, but it was a mistake in judgment. Dick Schaap, NBC News, at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati.
There are, in fact, six umpires assigned to the World Series this year by the American and National Leagues. None has ever umpired a World Series before. Good night for NBC News.